As I was listening to you sing that last song, the words, "I'm desperate for you and I'm lost without you," I wonder how we really sang that. I had to ask myself, now, Lord, how am I singing this? Am I really desperate for you today? Do I realize that without you working power for my life, I really am lost in whatever I would do? It's a song not about finding salvation. It's a song about living in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Today I want to talk just about living by God's plan. Everybody seems to have a plan. If you go to Barnes & Noble, you're going to find a section that is designed for planning and time management. Prioritizing. Follow-up. Books written by several wonderful men and women that have performed amazingly in the professional field. In the business world. Great stuff. But to the body of Christ, to those who are followers of Christ, we don't just exist in the business world. We exist in a spiritual world. And I think if we're going to be fulfilling and fruitful in the spiritual world, we have got to understand what God's plan is. And we have to make a commitment to live by His plan. Do you find yourself trying to live the Christian life by your own power? I mean, you grind it out every day. You're gonna read your Bible if you got to kill somebody, you know? And you're going to pray 10 minutes even though you hadn't got much to say. And you're going to try not to get upset with somebody or not to be ugly. And you're going to work at it real hard. And you finish the day and you're tired. You're exhausted. And it hasn't been a fulfilling day. Oh, you've done all the right stuff. It just hasn't been fulfilling. Do you feel like you're running on the spiritual race on empty? Man, you're trying as hard as you can, but Lord, I just don't think I have anything left to give. I don't know what I just am so tired and I've been drained. But you're out there running a race because we have been told we're to run the race and finish the course and fight the fight because we're going to do that no matter how unfruitful it is. This is what I know about the Christian life, the spiritual life we're to live. It is to be fulfilling and fruitful. I've just shared these are symptoms of living by our own plan and not God's. It's just that simple. I wonder if we could be honest enough today as we sit here and really let God speak to our hearts. Let's look at His solution. Let's consider His plan. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to start at verse 15. Pay careful attention, then, to how you walk, your lifestyle, daily. That's walking is what you do daily, okay? Not as unwise people, but as wise people, making the most of the time because the days are evil. We're in a war that gets heated up more and more as we move toward the second coming of Christ. So don't be foolish, but understand. Look at this. Understand what the Lord's will is. Meaning, understand what God's plan is. In the times that we're living in evil days, time is rushing by. He says, here's what God's plan is for the time in which we live today. 21st century. Rome, Georgia. All right? Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless action. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want you to understand when he says, I want you to be controlled, filled with the Spirit, the following verses reflect what happens and what you can do in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a checklist of do's and don'ts. It is an overflow and an evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's look. He says, as you're filled with the Spirit, then you'll be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music to the Lord in your hearts. That's joyful. You will be joyful. When people look at you Monday through Friday, does the word joyful come to their mind? It doesn't stop there. The benefit and the result will be joy, but also giving thanks always for everything. Thankful. When they see us throughout the week, do they say, boy, they sure are thankful people. 21, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ or in the reverence of Christ. And then he talks about how submitting plays out in your family, in your workplace, in your relationships as husband and wife, parent, child, and so forth. All right. What is he saying to us today? What is it we need to desperately hear as the people of God today? Not just another sermon, guys. We don't need another sermon. I've probably preached something on this. I know I taught on a few Wednesday nights a couple of months ago. We don't need just another sermon. We need to hear God speak to us today about our life, about our condition. Because I think our spiritual health is at stake. I really believe that. I think that's very true. So let's consider his plan. Number one, it is a command to be considered. Let your life be permeated with the Holy Spirit. This is not a suggestion he's making. It is simply a command. And he's saying, here's what you must do if you're going to experience what you need to experience to accomplish what I want you to accomplish. So the command is to be considered here is let your life be permeated with the Holy Spirit. That word filled is interesting in the Greek. Pleroma is the word, and it actually implies, see, we think of quantity when we talk about filling. See, when we talk about filling, we think, okay, this bottle is full, all right? Filled. And so we go through, how can my life be filled with the Holy Spirit? So now it's maybe not quite full, is it? Something's missing. That's not all. Hold this. Let me show you what permeate means. It has nothing to do with quantity. What it has to do with, thank you, is permeation. All right. There's not a part of this water that has not been touched by what was put in it. That's permeation. So as I look at this, this is what he's talking about. Not that I got a lot. Have I got all of him today? The question is, does he have all of me? You see, this permeated every part of water that was in this bottle. Guys, we keep trying to make this harder than it is. Man, we grind out and we do stuff and he said, no, I just want to touch every area of your life. I just want to be an influence in every area of your life, your family life, your work life, your recreational life, your thought life, your behavior patterns. I just want to be an influence in your life. I want to be there to move you and help you grow and develop in every area of your life. And so I want to permeate your life. That's what this means. That he wants to touch every area. And the truth is, if we're not careful, we want to say, well, Lord, there's some areas I really don't want you to touch. And some areas I don't want you to get involved in because I think I got a handle on it. I think I got it under control. And that's where your problem is. Because here's how he works. He touches every area. And then if you're going to withhold that certain areas from him, you begin to offend him or grieve him. And he ceases to be the influence and the power at work in your life. And now you find you're on your own. And you're going to eventually run on empty. And eventually you're going to be moving by your own power because you have offended him in such a way by saying, I don't want you to take charge of this part of my life. I've got this under control. And so we find that he says, I desire to permeate your life. But that's only one word picture for the control being filled of the Holy Spirit. There's another word picture, and it describes a sail when it is full of wind. Now, if you sailboating, and if you understand that obviously wind's kind of an important thing. And it's, we think, and here's how we live our lives. We think it's the wind behind the sail that moves the boat. Physics says that isn't so. You say, no, it's always been the wind behind the sail. I know it is on TV because that's what they always show you. The wind comes, the sail. But here's how it really works. Here's how a sailboat is moved and empowered to go and propel through the water. It's not the wind in the sail that propels the boat. The boat is not pressured from behind. I know it looks like it is. But that's not what it is. The wind creates a negative pressure that creates a vacuum. Ah. And in that vacuum, it's in front of the sail. And it leads it. Doesn't push it. Now, y'all have learned something you didn't know today, didn't you? Obviously, God knows something about physics since he kind of created it. Here's the thing. We keep waiting for him to push us. Come on, God, push me now. Push me. I'm here. Push me. He's going, I'm not pushing you. I will lead you. I'll lead you. Guys, I'm convinced, I think we keep waiting for the big wind to come and push us along in spite of us. Now, hear what I'm about to say. What he's saying here is something that requires my cooperation, not my indifference, but my cooperation. He says, I want you to let your life be filled with the Spirit. I want it to be permeated, and I want it to be led as I move out in front of you. And there's a vacuum created, and your life begins to respond to that vacuum for me. To know me, to obey me, to love me, and then you begin to let the Spirit of God move your life along. He's not going to push you. We keep thinking, well, he'll get the big push one day and we'll be all right. No. So, as I look at this, he says, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. It's an imperative to be an imperative. That means it's a command. Hey, I command you to let your to for your life to be permeated. Ah, got to be permeated. Oh, God, I got to be permeated. So now we go in our hurry up, get it done, got to do it routine. And we wonder why we're not having a good time. Because the truth is, the majority of the church today is not having a good time. If we did, people would be beating the doors down to come join us. We're not having a good time. And then we grind it out. Say, oh man, I got to be permeated. So we figure, what have I got to do? Well, I've got to read the Bible 30 minutes a day, pray 10 minutes a day, got to go to church 5 times a week. I've got to do this, got to do that. No. It is a command. But it's a passive command in the Greek language. Passive means you really don't make it happen. You see, the problem with us is we try to figure out how to make this happen. What have I got to do to make this happen today? You cannot make the wind blow. Blows on its own. just need to be responsive when it blows. You see, here's the thing. When it's passive and it's a passive voice, it's basically saying, you can't do this. You don't have enough strength, resource, stamina, determination, tenacity, stubbornness, pick any word you want. You don't have enough to get it done. And yet what we do is we think we really do, and we wear ourselves out with all those things and wonder, boy, it's just not working. I feel like I'm running on empty. And where's God in all this? Well, what you have to do in the passive is you have to allow yourself to do what only God can do. That's the difference. I got to come to a point and say, God, I can't do this today. Only you can. I can't have this life today. There's nothing I can do that creates the permeation that you want in my life. Not a thing. Would you do it in me today? God, I allow you to be Lord of my life. Oh. Now please hear me. When we fight him over lordship, permeation does not happen. I don't care how many times you go to church. See, that's the myth we live under. Man, if I do all this church stuff, I'm gonna have it. No, man. No. You gotta allow him to do this. You gotta allow him. In other words, you have got to be desperate for this because you can't do it on your own. Is that not convicting? And then he says, I want you to know it's a command to be considered. You've got to let it be permeated, but also you've got to do it daily. So now, it's because you do it now. He says, I want you to do this now. And it actually would say now and now and now. So today is now. And when tomorrow comes and you wake up, it'll be now. And so now I need to allow you to control my life. That's God's plan. The danger is we keep trying to make it happen in the energy of the flesh and the power of our own strength, and we wonder why our sailboat isn't moving. And so we blame other people. Oh, it's this person's fault. It's this person's fault. No, it's that guy's fault. And we blame everything. Has nothing to do with anybody else. Please hear me. Your walk with God, God's place, has nothing to do with anybody else. The days are evil, absolutely. Doesn't matter in God's plan. He's God. That's not an issue with him. It's not so bad that he can't function as God. So he says to us, his people, and it's not so bad you can't function as my people. I mean, history proves that. The first century church certainly functioned in evil days and grew and reached people in a pagan world, in a cruel world, in a time of persecution. How'd they do that? Well, they went to church five times a week and they received the power of the Holy Spirit in life daily, daily, daily. We are constantly looking for spiritual programs to download into our lives. That's how we think today. There's a program out there that's going to work for me. And we try to download something, and we're just trying to do that which only God can do, and nothing happens. Oh, we may enjoy the newness for a while. I don't doubt that. But it doesn't really change the power of the boat moves, does it? We're persistently searching for spiritual formulas with things to do and things to say. We're trying to make spiritual life happen when we need to allow spiritual life to happen. As we worship together, as we work together, as we desire God. He says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. If we're desperate for God, we will be in position where he can control our lives. The sad thing in the 21st century in America is the church has lost its desperation for God. I mean, we got it all figured out. We know how to do the stuff. We know how to play the game. We know how to look real good on the outside while we're running on empty on the inside. We've got it all figured out. And yet, we are doing less than any of the churches before us in any time period. Oh, we got more stuff to work with. And man, we think it's the building and we think it's the program. No. Spirit of God, that must control our lives to the point we actually can follow God's plan. And until then, we're just running around in circles because we're so busy we don't realize we're not going anywhere. We are commanded to allow Him to lead us daily. He's not going to push us. He's going to lead us. Leading requires submission. Each day you say, "Dear God, I need You to help me today. I can't do it without You. I'm lost without You. I can't function in my business without You. I can't function in my family without You. I can't function in my church life without You. I got to have You or it won't matter what I really do." That's the mindset we have got to get to. It's not a formula. It's an understanding of the heart that says, "My heart cries out for You. I desire to see You work in my life today. I desire to sense the power that only You can bring to my life." So in doing that, we have, secondly, a companion to be cherished. We live in dependence daily on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force or merely a power. He is a person. He is our companion that we should cherish every single day. And in doing that, we live in dependence daily on Him. Because as I cherish His companionship, I will not do stuff that hurts His feelings. Because I like the companionship. My greatest earthly companion is my wife. I'm telling you, I cherish my wife more than words will ever describe. And therefore, because I enjoy her companionship, I don't really want to hurt her feelings or offend her where she is not fulfilling that role in my life. Now, truthfully, accidentally, I've done that. Said something I didn't think was a big deal that was a big deal. I've done that. I've not done something she wanted me to do, and, you know, it was a big deal. Okay? So it maybe hurt her feelings a little bit or offended her. And so I know the difference. I know when she's got her, when she's a little grieved by what I've done and when she isn't. I know the difference. Guess what? In the realm of the spiritual life, our companion, the Holy Spirit, operates very personally with His personality touching our lives. And if I grieve Him, I should know the difference. Because I know what it's like when He wasn't grieved in my life. And what is amazing is we seem to be content living a life that grieves the Holy Spirit. And wonder why it's not a great companionship. I've got to cherish that in such a way that, man, I just want to please You today. I want to depend on You. I'm desperate for You. I'm lost without You. I can't function apart from You. So here's where I am. Can I tell you why we need that daily dependence? Number one, the Holy Spirit gives fresh wisdom for each day and each day's events. He never runs out of wisdom. And each day is a different day, and there's no 2 days exactly alike. So I need fresh wisdom every day. I can't live off last year's wisdom and get very far in life. That's when I start running on empty. So now I need to realize, dear God, I need to somehow seek You today. And I want to read something in the way of devotional that feeds my spirit. Not because I have to, not because I'm trying to build up wind behind the sails. I'm trying to have that vacuum in front of my sail that will pull me today. And so I'm coming not to make it happen, but to allow it to happen. So I want to read the Word of God saying, God, what would you say to me today that would help me, that would keep me from temptation, that would keep me from foolishness, that would keep me from saying something unkind? What is it that you could do today that would lead me to magnify you? And so I depend on his fresh wisdom, because I need wisdom every day. That's why I need to daily say, control my life, that control my tongue, control my thoughts, control my life, lest I run out of energy, spiritual energy. And so not only that, but we get Holy Spirit gives us fruitful words for people in the life you touch every day. He gives us things to say. He speaks to us and says, why don't you go over there and speak to that person? Or why don't you say so? Why don't you ask, can you pray for that person? Or why don't you, can you share with that person? Or can you just encourage that person? Or can you just say, how's your day going? But somehow he begins to lead us to have words for people. Words that are a blessing, if you will. There's words he gives you for your family that you need to say to your family every day. There's words he gives you to have at the workplace. There's words he gives you for your friends and for people you barely know that bring encouragement and build up and bless. They're words of life. They're words, even maybe the good news of salvation for some. And they come and they just flow through you because he's pulling you with that vacuum. Because you said, today I'm going to allow you to use me. I'm going to allow you to speak through me today. And he begins to do that. See, we keep trying to make stuff happen all the time. Well, I'm going to talk to three people today if it kills me. And the three you talked to wish you hadn't, because it hadn't been fun. But suppose God wanted to talk to only one that day and it would be meaningful. Suppose God wanted you to talk to five that day. You see, it's not about us making it happen. It's letting him work in us. Our words sometimes crush and burden. We are way too loose with our tongues. And the Holy Spirit goes, I wish you hadn't said that. Now you got it. Now you've done more damage than good. So we move on. There's a course to be completed. Fulfill God's purpose by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says basically there's three things that flow from a Spirit-filled life. Well, actually, there's more than that. I'm just going to cover three. He says, first of all, you'll be joyful. As you run the course, one of the parts of the course that I want you to have a joy about you. Doesn't mean you're happy all the time, because sometimes there's sad days. Sometimes your heart's broke. That's not what I was talking about. I'm talking about something within inside you, that there is a joy of being right with God, of knowing that he's in control of your life today. So therefore, you haven't got to be stressed out, worried, and have ulcers because it's all going crazy around you, because he's in control of your life. You settled that when you woke up this day and said, today, Lord, I want to allow you to control my life. Holy Spirit, I want to allow you to lead me today. And I don't know whether it'll be through the valley or on top of the mountain, but I know that I've trusted you to lead me today. So I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to get worried about it. I'm not going to get knots in my stomach. I know that you're in control. And now I'm allowing you to lead me how you want me to respond and how you want me to deal with this and what do you want me to say. Because I'm on a course that's to be completed. And he has the master plan of how I should run it. And so if that's the case, I need to let the power of the Holy Spirit move me down the course of which he's designed. The Holy Spirit permeates my heart in such a way that I have a song in the midst of a storm. I have a song. Have something to sing. Guys, when we come to church to worship corporately, I don't care how bad you think you sound. I don't care if you can't find the key or the note. That does not matter. Because the Spirit of God's in you, something ought to come out of your mouth. Because there's a song in your heart. So, Pastor, I just ain't got a song in my heart. Then you have a problem. And it's not the people around you, people in front of you, the people behind you. It's not, the problem is you. even have a song yard. Fanny J. Crosby. Blind. Wrote that were published over 300 songs. They're great songs. It's an overflow of her heart because she walked with God. If I permeate your life, there's going to be a joyfulness that comes out. Spafford, when he wrote it, "As Well With My Soul," it was a song that came out of despair and great devastation to his family as he lost his children's lives. And yet he says, "I've come to understand there can be a song in my heart in the midst of tragedy." He'd allowed God to work in his life. You enjoy Jesus every day, not just on Sunday. That's what that means. And then the second thing is, thankfully, everything that comes our way is passed through the Lord's love and grace, that we all may grow in maturity and faith. For all things were together, those who love God and called according to His purpose, course to which they're complete. If I am allowing Him to permeate my life, I will approach every day with thankfulness. That means when we complain, we are now grieving the Holy Spirit. And boy, we like to complain. It's kind of fun to complain. We enjoy complaining. But he says, guys, you're wasting energy. See, now you're wasting energy and time. It's time to just be thankful. Well, it's a hard time. The days are evil. What's there to be thankful for? Jesus said you ought to be thankful that His name is written in the book of life. That's a good place to start every day, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus, I am saved. I don't know what will happen today. I don't know what I'll lose today. I don't know what will happen to me today, but I am saved. I'm secure, and one day I'm going to go to heaven. That's a lot to be thankful for, because none of us deserve that. I'm thankful that I will never be alone today. I may be deserted by many, betrayed by some, but I'll never be alone today. Well, and then submission. Submit to one another in the reverence of Christ. Man, we got this submission thing so messed up. Submission here is not about the order of authority. It's about the operation of authority. It's about how that I submit to you because I love God and He's put you in my life, so I want to work in harmony with you. That's why it talks about mutual submission. Before you can have anything right in the family, the workplace, you got to have mutual submission, understanding that there's respect toward one another and response to one another. We don't throw our weight around. We don't seek to become great at somebody else's expense. He taught the disciples and taught the disciples, and they never got it until the Holy Spirit controlled their life. Even at the Lord's Supper, they were arguing over who was the greatest. They wondered who's going to sit. I mean, it's amazing. But then they finally got it. In the Christian life, we jockey too much for position and authority and be in charge, all this kind of stuff. Guys, I really don't want to be in charge. I want God to be in charge. And so we work together, and that's the only way that really works. We promote others. The only way we do that is contrary to our nature. The only way that can possibly happen is let the Holy Spirit control our lives. So I say this to you. Jesus said it best, and I close with this. In John chapter 7, verse 37, on the last most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." He said this about the Spirit. We are either rivers of blessing or reservoirs of truth. Rivers of blessing let God flow. Holy Spirit's controlling us. We flow and we touch lives. And we're a sense of blessing to people. Or we're reservoirs of truth. We got all the answers, but we don't let the Spirit flow through us. We do all the right stuff. We look pretty good on the outside, but on the inside, we're really pretty empty. Running on empty, doing it by our own power, and wondering why we're so tired, so discouraged, and so defeated.